As the Greek oarsmen were hurrying to their benches, the great king, followed by a mighty train of generals, officials, and flunkies, was riding out in his chariot past the southern spur of Mount Aegileus and round onto the rocky brow which looks o'er seaborne Salamis. Here, above a temple of Heracles, he ordered his Nisaean horses reined in. As he descended, first onto a golden footstool, and then, for the royal platform heels could hardly be permitted to touch bare earth, along a hurriedly unrolled carpet, servants were busy erecting a throne. The great king had chosen his vantage spot well. Below him, becoming clearer by the minute, there stretched an unrivalled panorama. Off Salamis, the straits, the gulf beyond them, and the distant isthmus. But what, on the waters themselves, did Xerxes see that fateful morning as the sun rose behind him and the fateful moment of battle, long awaited, dawned at last? Not what he had been hoping to see, that much at least is certain. The great king would have been notified before his arrival above Salamis that the anticipated breakout by the Peloponnesians had failed to occur. Even so, the spectacle of the Greek fleet drawn up in the narrows below him would still have come as a sore disappointment. And his own squadrons, where were they as dawn broke? A momentous question, for just as the Allied strategy was dependent upon fighting a battle in the straits, so the great king's admirals had all along been committed to facing the Greeks on the open sea. The resulting stalemate had already endured for 3 weeks. Only a conviction that their enemy was indeed a hapless rabble would ever have persuaded the commanders of the imperial fleet to break it and advance with their squadrons into the channel. A decision as fateful as any in the history of warfare. For upon it rested the future course not merely of the battle, not merely of the war, but of Europe and of Western civilization itself. Infuriatingly, we are not told when or why it was made. Only that battle, when it was joined, did indeed take place where the Persians had been most desperate not to fight it, within the Straits of Salamis. It seems likeliest that the order to engage the enemy in the Straits was given to the Persian fleet shortly after sunrise, and that it came directly from the King of Kings himself. We do not know how the signal was broadcast, nor whether Xerxes was able to communicate to his admirals a sudden and thrilling spectacle, clearly visible to him from his vantage point above the straits, the apparent disintegration of the whole Greek battle line. Some 50 triremes, veering off in the direction of Eleusis, looked to be in headlong flight, making for that narrow channel off the northwest of the island where, evidently unbeknown to their commander, the Egyptians were lurking. All was just as the traitorous Athenian admiral had said it would be. Time, then, to finish off Greek resistance for good. Time to enter the straits.